We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
With the second pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Nick Bosa, defensive back, Ohio State.
The Morning Roast is live on YouTube right now. Take it away, Bonte.
2019 NFL Draft, Nick Bosa out of Ohio State. As Kyler Murray decides to enter the NFL Draft, he went number one to Arizona. Nick Bosa goes number two to the 49ers. Quinnen Williams, three to the Jets. You know what? Quinnen Williams and Nick Bosa having a better career right now than Kyler Murray. You could make that argument. Quinnen Williams signed a big-time extension. Nick Bosa got his money. Let's see what happens with Kyler. He did get his money, $50-plus million. He played better. Cardinals intrigue me. Think they're nobody's talking about them as it is draft day, and we have you covered. Tune into Draft Night on the Game with Mark Grandy, the Grandy Man, Evan Giddings, Sterling Bennett. I'm locked in at 6 p.m. with my guys. I got my guys on the app, Odyssey app. I'll have the draft on the TV. I got to hear Grandy. I got to hear Giddings. I got to hear Bennett. They better bring it. I know they will, because this is a huge night for the 49ers. The guys will take you right up to the Niners pick and react right after it. Draft night tonight at 6 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
You mentioned a guy with Kyler Murray right there. Let's say he's on the trade block tonight. Do you think you're taking maybe Caleb and Jaden over him? Like, those are the only two? Or are you taking Kyler over any of those guys?
Wow. The way I'm thinking about it, I'm not.
Because I would trade a first-round pick for Kyler Murray.
Well, of course, I think a lot of teams would. Kyler, like Caleb right now, there are questions about the person and the leadership and all that. Now, I don't know if this is just what people do right leading up to the draft.
Do you feel like he diffused some of that last season under Gannon, a new coach? It felt like he played a lot better within that system.
Oh, I thought you meant Caleb. No, Caleb, there's all this. I'm talking about Caleb.
Caleb.
There's all this smoke coming out right now about his, about who he is as a person. And people are saying he's weird, like Russell Wilson. And, you know, there's just a lot there. Now, again, I don't know if this is just.
I hate that stuff.
I do too.
Why do we do that?
Because he wears pink nail polish. He's thus weird now.
Well, I remember.
Because he cried after a game that he lost with his parents. He's weird now.
They're like, oh, video games are bad. I'd rather you be playing video games than going out clubbing.
Yeah.
You know, like.
I don't like this when we do this with quarterbacks. Actually,
but this is what happens.
They do it with Baker Mayfield.
But Ponte, this is what happens when you have old scouts who aren't from this generation or even the last generation. They're from multi generations ago, and they find out stuff about young kids. Like, I'm sorry, young kids are going to do things differently than what's going on right now. So, I don't like it either. Now, Kyler Murray, I'm saying, like, there were a lot of questions about his leadership leading up to it.
Yep.
I'm taking Kyler Murray over Jaden Daniels all day.
Yeah, me too.
It's not even a question. Now, that might not age properly, but I believe in Kyler's talent. Now, can he stay healthy?
Right.
You know, those are different questions, but I think the guy is a stud.
You know, Caleb, I watched some of his podcasts with The Pivot. It hit my timeline. I said, you know what? I want to hear
Caleb. Came off very mature.
I liked him even more after that, and I've always liked him. I liked him for the first day he stepped on the field in the Red River Shootout. When he started throwing dives, it took Spencer Rattler's job from Oklahoma. And then, like, the whole big deal, and this is what made me love Caleb even more, is I didn't like the Patrick Mahomes comparisons. I just let Caleb be Caleb.
It's the arm angles, the throws, I know.
But I was just like, let's not put that pressure on the kid. But the way he cried after that loss, who was it against? Washington? Or Utah? Washington against Penix and them. They lost the shootout. And he sobbed right there in front of everybody with his family. I'm cool with that. The guy's crying tears. All those tears from losing games, I'm cool with that. To me, It matters. Now, he'll mature and he won't cry, but he doesn't take loss as well. I'm okay with that. I don't want my franchise quarterback taking loss as well. Cam Newton got a bad knock for that, a bad rap, because, you know, oh, man, he didn't talk after the Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. Some people handle losing differently. But the guy cares enough to where losing hurts. That, to me, is a plus. When you don't want to lose and you take losing hard, I'm okay with that.
So when you're watching the Caleb stuff, because I watched a lot of USC, there's a guy on USC who's coming out, and everyone, Braden Rice and all these. No. Taj Washington is the guy that I like for the Niners late in the draft. He's a smaller receiver. I don't think they run a lot of quick hitter stuff at USC. Caleb likes to hold the ball, you know, and Lincoln Riley likes to attack downfield. And they were chasing lots of points all year.
I mean, they had no defense.
But I'm telling you, this he's a smaller guy.
Now, I know Taj Washington.
I like him a lot in like the fifth, sixth, seventh round. He, to me, is a guy that screams Shanahan late in this draft.
We'll see about Taj Washington.
He's a sleeper.
He's a sleeper.
No legacy. Sleeper. Brendan Rice,
legacy pick. Brendan was nice. I don't know where he's
projected to be a third, fourth rounder.
I'll take a flyer on him. He's got good size. Really good size. Let's go to Mason and Sarah Ramon. Mason, what's happening? You're on the roster on 95.7 the game.
Hey, yesterday I called, but you guys called me Nathan.
No, we called you Nicholas. Oh, you're Mason. It was Nicholas on the board. It was Nicholas. But it's Mason. All right, Mason.
Okay. I don't think they should trade IU for a pick, because I'm going to refer to the Warriors here, Wiseman. They tried to get a really good pick with Wiseman. He ended up selling. He wasn't a very good. And if the same thing could happen with Ayuk to get a better pick, then I don't think it's worth trading him.
All right, Mason. Crack them books, Mason. Crack them books. He doesn't want to trade Ayuk. Anybody want to trade Ayuk out there? Day later. Anybody cool with trading Ayuk?
We can't.
I see Xfinity Mobile Tech. Sorry, yeah. Real quick, you're asking 408. If you get seven, Niners will trade up to take offensive tackle. No, where's the pick? Oh, 925. Ayuk's going to Buffalo. Well, the Buffalo Bills make a move today in this draft. Will they make a move?
I don't know what they're going to do.
They need a weapon, right?
You know how we talk about money. They gave Von Miller way too much guaranteed money.
No doubt.
I mean, they just did. He's an older player, and they gave him way too much guaranteed money. I don't know what they're doing. I really don't. I have no idea. I feel like they're drafting wide receivers because they have the maximum quarterback contract.
Well, Daniel Jeremiah has taken an edge rusher, Marshawn Nealon, out of Western Michigan, who's getting a lot of buzz
here.
Oh,
that's in the first round. Yeah, I'm talking about round, just in general with their philosophy. 28th
pick overall. Well, they go heavy on the pick. Got to get Josh Allison weapons, right?
I mean, they lost two wide receivers this year.
Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis. Yeah, they do have James Cook in the backfield. Would they be interested in Brandon Ayuk? Would Brandon Ayuk be interested in going to Buffalo? He'd be the man up there.
I don't know. But I will say that, like, the more and more that I think about this is he brings up the number two overall pick, and we came back with the sound. Is Nick Bosa the greatest draft pick during the Shanahan era?
I'm not going to say greatest because it was a no-brainer. Well, some people want to quit in Williams, like yours truly, but I'm not mad at Nick Bosa.
So wait, I'm trying to keep up here. Is it the greatest?
No, pick? It's not.
Okay, what is?
It's not, because it was kind of like Quinton Williams, Nick Bosa. You could go.
It did change their team.
It changed their defense a little bit. It did. Could make the argument that Debo is a better pick than Nick Bosa. Second round pick. You didn't know if he was going to pop. DK Metcalf was on the board.
Yeah, I didn't have Debo.
And you make Debo Samuel, you turn him into an All Pro and the player that he is today. Drake Greenlaw.
Yeah,
Fred Warner.
I was going to go Kittle before all those guys.
Kittle. You could say Kittle, but what about Kittle, Fred Warner?
Fred Warner's been amazing.
He became the best linebacker of football.
Been amazing.
I mean, best linebacker of football.
But they had Fred Warner before Nick Bosa, and their defense wasn't anywhere close.
Well, they didn't have any defensive ends. I know. You got to have some pass rushers. But Fred Warner from day one started.
Okay.
Wore the green dot helmet, and he's become the best linebacker in football. Hands down.
I think he's on the short list.
I
don't think I would put Debo over Warner, and I don't think I would put Debo over Kittle. If we're going to go value like the way you were describing, I'd probably put Kittle just above him ever so slightly.
What if it's Brock Purdy?
Well, that was where I was going. Like, I think eventually, if he ends up being that guy, like if they had won the Super Bowl, it would have been Brock Purdy.
Hands down, greatest draft pick ever. I mean, greatest draft pick ever for Shanahan and Lynch, for sure.
I mean, it saved their jobs. I mean, I as I think about draft day, like Bosa and Debo and Warner and Kittle, I also think about what they did with Trey Lance. How many organizations can survive that trade?
Yeah.
And that guy playing three games, and it just, I mean, it, whoop. I mean, they just pivoted right to Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is one of the greatest draft picks of all time for this organization.
Yeah, I'm kind of
already.
I'm
a year and a half. There.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I mean, think of how many seventh rounders in the, you know, the Niners. Dwight Clark was a 10th round pick, yep. Right? It's that they don't even have 10 rounds anymore. So that's one of those ones that I'll always hold in high regard. Name another seventh round pick for the Niners that stuck around.
Nobody even knows. I don't remember one seventh round pick. Not one.
Adrian Colbert.
Not one. Yeah, Juwan Colbert. Jennings, yeah, but I don't remember those guys. I don't even think of those guys.
Davis.
I don't even think of those guys. I think of the players, but I don't think about where they're picked. They're late round picks. They weren't memorable enough to be memorized like that. You know what I'm saying? Brock Purdy just threw for the most yards in franchise history. There's no doubt he may become one of the greatest picks all time in NFL history. Like, if he wins that Super Bowl, I truly believe he's one of the five greatest stories in North American sport history. Brock Purdy. That's how big this story, like the last pick of the NFL draft. He's like the first Mr. Irrelevant to ever take a snap in a regular season game, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about that. Not only did he take snaps, he took jobs, and he became a captain. And now we got the owner talking about he's going to reset the quarterback market. You can't script this. You just can't. When we wrap our heads around what Brock Purdy has done and what he may become, he was the last pick in the draft, so there's no doubt. The no-brainer in Nick Bosa, the Fred Warner picks, the George Kittle picks, they're all great, but they're not greater than Brock Purdy.
Well, so
not even close.
Now that you've said all of that, don't you trust Brock, Kyle Shanahan, Lynch, the offense, that if they do move off of Brandon Ayuk, they'll figure it out?
Yeah, but they may not figure it out this year.
That's an interesting point.
And aren't we in win now mode?
Yeah.
Aren't we in a situation where you got to maximize this Super Bowl window?
No doubt. But that's also like they made financial moves that are going to hurt the team in the interim, but it's about, you know, reorganizing money. Like, for example, Eric Armstead. They're in win now mode and they want to win. And Eric Armstead is a better player than whatever they have on the roster right now, right? To fill him up.
Well, it depends on who you ask, right? There's not a lot of Eric Armstead fans here. A lot of people, when he got cut, people said he's not worth it.
No, worth it is a different conversation. Is he better, just an outright better player than the D-tackle?
We don't know. Malik Collins may be good. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see. I don't know.
I mean, look, come on. He was a really good player for the Niners. He wasn't healthy enough. He was getting paid a lot of money. Like,
he was solid.
But in a vacuum, like, they're a better player with him. Right, and you're in win now mode anyway, so you make lots of moves on the roster left and right that maybe don't necessarily help you today, but it's about adding something else over there or about being better down the line over here.
Yeah, I don't know if I trust them next season. I trust Lynch and Shanahan to make the right decision, but if you're taking away his number one weapon is, but like I'm seeing Chicago, Jason, he's saying Brandon Ayuk is an easy replacement. Plenty of receivers in his draft. Okay. What's the hit rate on these wide receivers? How many wide receivers make it to their second contract with the team that drafted them? How many wide receivers just pop off the screen? Think about where you drafted Brandon Ayuk. You can think about the value you got him at and think about what he's done. Because it ain't just, I know people say, well, I don't pay him to run block. Well, run blocking as a wide receiver is essential in this offense. For Shanahan, you better get physical at the wide receiver position. Ayuk has done that. He's done that. Not to the level of Juwan Jennings, but he's done that. Okay, Dwight Clark was a 10th round pick. How many times is that? There's going to be exceptions to the rule every single year. But it doesn't mean you're going to make the right pick. How many misses have the Niners had at the wide receiver position?
They've had misses at every position.
You know,
Reggie McGrew.
So I want to see what it looks like with Brock Purdy. Like, I trust Lynch and Shanahan to make the right move. Do I trust Purdy to thrive without a top-flight wide receiver if they don't replace Brandon Ayuk? Hell, I don't know who they're going to replace him with. I don't know if these guys could translate to the league.
I mean, look,
it sounds good.
There were times during the Super Bowl and in the playoffs when Deebo Samuel was on the sidelines and he was throwing to Chris Conley. Now that he wasn't the primary guy, you still had Ayuk out there, but like they connected on some big plays in the playoffs to a guy that most people didn't even know and had in fantasy, let alone being one of the top three wide receivers.
But it wasn't like they were giving him high volume. What did he catch, two passes in the postseason?
No, but I'm just saying, like you got to be deeper at that position.
You do have to be deep.
And I think that they need to draft multiple guys.
Yeah, which is why, though, I would rather keep Ayuk at the end of the day and draft another. I would draft a receiver anyway to add to Ayuk and Deebo. Because what was a big conversation we had at the Super Bowl when they lost to Kansas City? It's like, damn, they just had one more weapon. Because when Deebo went down, that offense looked very, very stale.
No doubt. And if, you know, the running back who's an all-world player held onto the ball, if the offensive line gave Purdy more time. Like, there's a lot of ifs.
Purdy's got to make throws, too. He missed some throws.
Yeah, he did in that
game. He's not exonerated.
He did.
You know, Shanahan's yelling, hey, look at McCaffrey. But Purdy's looking the other way on 3rd and 5, and he gets the ball batted at the line of scrimmage. How many balls got batted at the line of scrimmage in that Super Bowl by the Kansas City Chiefs? 2 or 3?
The linebacker, 51.
They're making plays all over the place. So I would add to the wide receiver room. Even if I kept Brandon Ayuk.
Well, I would too, but here's the thing. If you keep Brandon Ayuk, you have to sign him long-term because that wide receiver that you draft, I want him to be either a complimentary player to Ayuk or he can be a slot player. If you get rid of Ayuk, I have to get someone who can line up on the outside on that line of scrimmage. And that's just a different receiver.
And you know what?
Not all receivers can do that.
And what's not easy for college wide receivers? How many college wide receivers get jammed at the line of scrimmage?
Not many because there's such a wide formation and they're running so many smoke screens. And
So there's going to be an adjustment for a wide receiver coming from the college ranks. How do you beat press man?
Brian Thomas is a great example of like a guy that he didn't do a lot of work in the middle of the field. A Shanahan offense, you're going to do a lot of work in the middle of the field.
A lot of drags and crossing routes.
Yeah.
So
does he have that in the bag and he just didn't show it, or does he have to learn it?
How do you beat press man? How do you run drag routes? How can you read coverages? How many different coverages, sophisticated coverages, are they running in college? There's a few teams like Michigan, Alabama, they're running NFL schemes. You got Saban, you got Harbaugh and his crew, they're running NFL schemes. But how many teams are running NFL schemes defensively? So how do you read cover threes, cover twos, all this stuff, nickels, dimes? There's an adjustment period for a wide receiver coming into the NFL. Now, some guys could just pop right away. Justin Jefferson popped right away. But I felt like Joe Brady had an NFL-type style offense at LSU with Joe Burrow and Justin Jefferson and who's by the other guy on the other side, Ja'Marr Chase. But it's an adjustment period. So you got to think about all that, plus the complexity of Shanahan's offense, especially from the wide receiver spot and the timing routes that they run. So I would rather add and keep Ayuk as opposed to moving off of Ayuk and drafting a wide receiver, basically saying, hey, I need you to replace Ayuk. You're going to light up here. You're going to be opposite of Deebo Samuel. Especially if I'm going to be considering moving on to Deebo next year.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to end up doing with Deebo. I really don't. I mean, would they ever do the unthinkable and move both guys today?
Huh.
What?
I would hope not.
I mean, it feels unthinkable. I'm just asking. Wait,
I mean, you got dead cap hit.
It's coming hard.
You got a $42 million dead cap hit. We've been talking about it all week.
We went to a Super Bowl, and Kendrick Bourne was one of your leading postseason wide receivers. Like, I know.
Well, then we think Shanahan can do it then.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know wide receiver is important, and I'm not devaluing how great these guys are individually. But also, like, we act like this is the Tom Sula offense. Kendrick Bourne was one of your leading receivers en route to a Super Bowl.
Well, Kendrick Bourne was so good, they had to trade for Emmanuel Sanders at the deadline.
No doubt.
They had a wide receiver.
No doubt. He also had a rib injury.
That's how confident they felt about Kendrick Bourne being their leading wide receiver. They went out and traded for Emmanuel Sanders.
I'm not dismissing that. I'm just saying that I just don't think this offense, the way that they want to run things, I don't think that wide receiver spending $60 million on wide receivers is the greatest way to put your team together.
It's only for one season. It would only be for one season. Spend a $60 million, and that's $75 million with adding Kittle. That's for 1 year. And then you move off Deebo next year because it sounds like it's – let's listen to TK on the Deebo situation.
I think it's set up for Deebo Samuel's contract to be moved off after this season. I just think that's the way the contract was played out. It's like that's where they have this out. It's not this year. It's next year. Ayuk would not be getting a new contract starting till next season anyway, very likely. You don't really tear up that last season if you do the extension. They haven't with other players, so his number is not going up huge. In fact, it'll go down because it's $14 million this season. A number probably going out to start the cap hits and then expand, you know, by a lot in later years.
And then TK later added about Deebo Samuel. Is he a declining player or is he ascending?
It's a potential declining player. This is kind of was the issue that they had with him 2 years ago. It was like they just didn't see how he was going to be a $27 million player in 3 years. Well, he's probably not going to be. And they have their way out of it. So for pure math, you could say if they give the money to Ayuk, it's probably not going to go to Deebo. But that's not limited to just the one player. I know. And we saw it with Armstead. We might see it with several other players. They have outs for these long-term deals. That's why players fight for the guaranteed money. And when the time comes, when the guaranteed money doesn't hit the 49ers as hard, you start seeing some players going.
What do you think about that? Deebo declining, Ayuk not. So maybe adding a wide receiver, moving off of Deebo next year, and then at least in the future, you have your Brock Purdy getting his deal. You have Ayuk who has his deal, and you have that rookie wide receiver on that rookie deal who's in his second year learning from Deebo Samuel, and he's ready to roll by year two.
Well, I mean, that's what
that's most the ideal
would
situation.
Prefer. Yeah, we would prefer that, but like, I don't know. I don't know if they can afford that or if they want to do that, and then like, what are you going to get for Deebo? The Deebo thing is interesting. Like, I don't know if he's a declining player. I just think he kind of is what he is. He had a monster 2021 season. Just absolute all outlier monster year. And I don't think they're going to use him that way anymore. They're just not. Like, when you got CMC, it kind of, not that it devalued Deebo, it just changed Debo's particular role, and it wasn't a necessity to hand him the ball off the way that they did. Is he still a gladiator? Absolutely. Is he still a tone setter and a stud who can pop in any game? Oh, absolutely. Is he the greatest wide receiver in terms of like, hey, this guy's going to press you. You need to get open in a short area and make yourself get separation so we can hit you on a quick hitter. That's not necessarily what his bread and butter is.
You know, he got shut down in the Super Bowl. And Deebo was good last season. I thought he had a good season. I did. Was it great? No.
He had a good season. I agree with that.
But he got shut the hell down by McDuffie and the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, there was just no separation. No separation at the line of scrimmage. He didn't fool anybody with his route running whatsoever.
But if you go to practice,
you know, I love Deebo. And
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.